วยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide
Oh, yeah. What's going on, man? There is so much to talk about on this show. Vin, what is going on, man? I have some grievances to air. It's been a crazy weekend of fights. So what's up, man? How's everything going?
Not much, man. It's a little early for me because you made me wake up very early today. Not very happy about that.
It's 11 o'clock, man.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
It's 11 o'clock. So how is it up there, man? Is it nice and chilly?
No, it's actually this weekend's been a little bit better. A couple days last week was pretty cold, but yeah, it's not too bad. Nice and sunny out.
All right.
Yet, obviously, because I just woke up. But
you haven't gone outside yet?
No.
you're living in between four. You're living in four walls, man. You have no windows. Come on now.
What are these grievances you want to air? Because I'm sure I have some of my own.
So anyway, so on this one, we don't on this episode, we're not going to have a guest because I just want to go off. No, obviously we had a stacked weekend of fights. Really, I mean, we had two events. I think the first thing that kind of bothered me was something that kind of Natalie Foos brought up the last time we spoke to her. I just kind of didn't understand why, you know, two events had to take place on the same freaking night. Two really solid events had to take place on the same night. So that kind of pissed me off because it's like the sport isn't even that big yet and we're already getting to that sort of... I don't know if it was on purpose, but like, I don't know. I just... competing to like undercut one or the other just was kind of like, I don't know, stupid to me because like they're both shows. They're kickboxing and Muay Thai need, you know, more eyes and more fans, and to kind of divide up, you know, the limited amount that we have right now is kind of just, I don't know. I didn't like that, but I was able to catch them both. And, you know, I thought Lion Fight was spectacular, and I thought Glory... once again, unfortunately, in my opinion, was underwhelming. So that was kind of that's kind of like, and we'll go more into that, but I want to hear what you have to say.
I didn't even watch Glory.
And why? Really, and why is that?
I just didn't have like the interest to watch it. Just the way the past few events have been going, I didn't have the interest. I mean, you know me, I love Muay Thai anyway, so I was more interested in Lion Fight, and I wasn't going to try and watch Lion Fight on TV and, you know, Glory on a computer, because now it's only on ESPN3 live. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I'm not doing anything tonight, I'll watch it because it's going to be on ESPN2, although I might watch Walking Dead instead. Yeah. But I heard the controversy, and like that makes me not want to watch it even more. It's just I don't know. I like kickboxing. I like Glory, but I feel like the fights... I bet you the undercard was better than the card that was aired. That I would rather watch that than what they showed on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And the undercard, you know, it's kind of weird because it's just that now the undercard you have to have... Okay, so it's that they divided it in two things now, because now you have to have, for the undercard, to watch the undercard, you have to have UFC Fight Pass. Yeah. Because they cover a Super Fight series now. But then if you want to watch the main event, I don't know this. I don't know this 100% for sure because I don't have UFC Fight Pass. But I don't know if the main card aired on UFC Fight Pass. So I'm thinking that you had to have UFC Fight Pass. And then to watch the actual main event, you had to go to ESPN3. Which seems kind of like strange to me. So that's just kind of one of my grievances. And like I said, with all due respect to Glory, because, you know, we have friends that work for Glory. They've been on the show. We have people that fight for Glory that have been on the show. And it's not that, you know, we're saying that it's a bad event or anything like that. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, it's just that, man, you know, like last time, I think one of the things that came up last time was that Lion Fight. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, you know, every fight went to decision. Well, it was still a great event, but... if that was the issue, then this event was awesome in the respect that every single fight on the main card, pretty much except for one, went ended in a KO or a TKO. So it was an incredible night of fights. And just every single matchup was solid. I don't think there was a boring fight. Every single guy that was on the card was talented and skilled. And I was really, really happy with Lion Fight. And I've been saying that for a long time, so much that, you know, some people have actually said, oh, you know, do you, is it, you know, are you guys, you just like love Lion Fight, so you're always going to talk well about them. But it's not that. It's just I'm going by what I see. You know what I mean? And what I see is that the product has been consistently getting better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, as much as I hate to say this, actually, I'm not even going to agree with what I'm about to say. Seems like Pat Miletich's commentary is getting a little bit better the more experience he gets with Muay Thai. But that's, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because I would even say that, and I agree with it too. Either I've gotten used to him or he has. I mean, obviously he's picked up things because, I mean, he is sitting next to Michael Schiavello, which is a guy who's been, you know, commentating on Muay Thai and kickboxing for years now, you know, and obviously I think if they're hanging out and if they're getting to know each other a little bit more and they're getting more comfortable with one another, you know, Michael Schiavello is going to give them some pointers on what are, you know, the ins and outs of Muay Thai. And the thing is that, you know, people need to understand that Michael Schiavello is the guy who knows traditional Muay Thai. I mean, he, back in the day when, you know, Muay Thai was still growing, and in Australia, I mean, he was the voice, and that's his nickname. He was the voice, along with Mark Hammer, the Hammer Castagnini, which is they were the two voices, and they know Muay Thai in and out. I mean, they've commentated on some of the biggest fights with, you know, John Wayne Parr, Yatsen Klai. I mean, pretty much anybody you can think of in the big names of Muay Thai. Those guys, the Contender Asia, those guys have been the guys that were doing it. So. I think that's probably rubbed off a little bit on Pat Miletich. He knows more about the sport now. He's obviously a little bit further removed from MMA now and focusing on Muay Thai when it comes to Lion Fight. So, yeah, man, I just think the product has consistently gotten better. And they're expanding, dude. I mean, it's not like it's just staying there. Now we're going to see. Now they just had a partnership with, what is this, Muay Thai Grand Prix, where we're going to see Victor Saravia, who we've interviewed on the show, against Daniel McGowan, who's a good friend of the podcast and we've interviewed on the show. That's going to be at Muay Thai Grand Prix. And now they just also had a partnership deal with Warriors Way, which is Mark the Hammer Castagnini's promotion in Australia. So, I mean, I really think it's growing. Their brand is growing, and that's why the product has consistently gotten better, man.
Yeah, it seems like what they're trying to do is they're trying to partner up with other big organizations to help grow it and to become, you know, recognized worldwide. Whereas you have Glory, who is now going to be in competition with Bellator, because now Bellator's starting kickboxing. So now there's more competition.
Yeah.
Instead of partnering up and doing something together and making it bigger, they're just going to compete with each other now.
Yeah. I mean, and then you have Legacy Kickboxing too, which is still probably going to be more of like a feeder organization, smaller guys, smaller events. Really, I don't know for Glory or for Bellator, but that's kind of like what I see happening. Because in a way, what they're trying to do, the funny thing is what they're trying to do with Lion Fight, with Muay Thai Grand Prix and Warriors Way, is that these guys, like Warriors Way, has big names in Australia. Muay Thai Grand Prix is run by Kieran Kettle, who is, you know, one of the top names in Muay Thai, was a great fighter. Also, he's got his own gym, Double K Gym, where Charlie Peters comes out of. You know, so these guys have a lot of experience. So now it's going to be cool because, I mean, look at the next card. It's like Daniel McGowan has already been on Lion Fight. He came all the way from the UK, fought on a Las Vegas card, fought or California. I don't remember which one that was, but he fought Romeo Danza. And now Victor Saravia from Lion Fight is going to go to the UK to fight Daniel McGowan, which I think is really cool because now I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have the sharing of what we've been talking about now is that, you know, Lion Fight, one of the criticisms, but it was always the same people fighting each other. And now it's not going to be that way. You know, you brought in for last night, for the event this past weekend, you had Lion Fight bring in guys like Sergio Vilsen, who hadn't been on Lion Fight before. you know, well-recognized Dutch kickboxer. He fought Ongyen Topic. You know, we love Ongyen Topic, another good friend of the podcast. And it showed right there that now they're bringing in guys that are tough even for the guys that are already tough on the card, man. So I think this is how would I say? I think it's a awesome sort of talent sharing thing that they're doing, and they're making Muay Thai global, which is what we all wanted to do and that wanted to happen. And I think Lion Fight's moving in that direction, and they're doing it right, which is why, like you said, I was more inclined to watch Lion Fight live, and I had ESPN3 running on my computer on the side, you know? And that was just the reality of it too, because ESPN was on the web, dude. And you know, why am I going to watch it on the web when I can watch Access TV live? You know what I mean? So
now, being that they're partnering up with the organizations overseas, are they going to be aired on Access TV?
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know still about the deal on that. I mean, that's one thing that we'll have to see. I mean, I think really it's, I don't know if it's a, I don't think it's a broadcasting partnership. I do think what it is like a talent sharing partnership. So like the top guys of Muay Thai Grand Prix are now going to be able to come over here, a fight on Lion Fight, and same thing with Warrior's Way. And then, you know, some of the top American guys are now going to be able to go to Australia or to UK to fight on those cards. But I don't know if it, broadcasting wise, I don't know how that's going to work. But either way, man, either way, I think it's a positive step in the right direction, you know, because that means that for the Lion Fight cards coming up, you're going to see
new guys.
Yeah, we're going to see new guys. And the thing is, it doesn't matter. Like, obviously, with Ongyen Topic, you know, him losing that fight, you know, we can go into that, obviously, to Lion Fight, where Ongyen fought Sergio Wilson, who is a guy who's very, very tough. You know, he's beat Anuat. He's beat, you know, he's fought a lot of Dutch fighters as well, Thai fighters as well. He has a lot of experience, more experience, actually, than Ongyen. But what it shows is that, you know, we need that, as the American Muay Thai landscape needs to have these guys that are also talented from other countries come in, because it's all about iron sharpening iron. I mean, now that Ongyen faced a guy like Sergio Wilson and lost that fight, I mean, you're not going to tell me that Ongyen isn't going to go back to the drawing board, knowing his work ethic, knowing the way he is, and come out a bigger and better fighter, you know? So that is going to shape our guys and continue to make them better and better, man. So,
Ongyen's next fight, because he's going to come back hard.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think Ongyen's going to come back tough. He's going to come back hard again. And he's going to take this. His attitude is one of a fighter. That's what he wants to do. And, you know, full time. So I think he's going to come back even harder. But I mean, let's review real quick. Lion Fight. Obviously, a couple of fights on there that stuck out to us. Obviously, for me, Asa Tenpao was somebody that a lot of people have been keeping their eye on. He's a tough kid. Comes out of the amateur ranks with over 50 plus fights. We interviewed him 2 weeks ago. He is from the state of Florida. He actually pretty much kind of grew up around us, around the core group that Vinny and I had down here in Florida that were started Sanshao and then moved into Muay Thai. Then Vinny moved back to New York. But Asa, you know, said it himself that he sort of grew up looking up to us, and to see him get to where he is now, I was really happy to see him win. He's a Florida guy, which is, you know, where I am based. And it was awesome to see him.
It's funny about that is that, you know, he grew up kind of looking up to us.
Yeah.
Now look where he is, and we're just sitting here just kind of like fat and talking about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the way the world works, man. He's stuck to the dream. But it was awesome to see him. It was awesome to see him. You know, I'd seen Asa fight since he was like 13 years old. So to see him now, you know, go in there. And he did well against a guy that is always tough. Tehran is always a tough fighter. He's a guy that comes out guns blazing, wants to take your head off. And he did score. Get a flash knockdown on Asa. And then Asa came back. And I think you mentioned it. You were saying
it was funny because everything that Tehran did to Asa came back immediately, did the same thing but better.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to see that fight go on. You know, it sucks to lose by TKO because you have an injury or something.
Yeah.
Like, something happened with his shoulder, but mm-hmm. I would have definitely liked to see that go on. But I think no matter how long it goes, I think Asa takes that fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was I chalk up the first round to where Asa was, you know, to where Tehran caught his leg and sweeped him, you know, and he got that, you know, and then the spinning elbow. I think that all of those things, I chalk it up to Asa was, you could see he was a little bit more cautious at the beginning because it was his pro debut, you know, so he's trying to get adjusted to how it's going to be. He knows it's going to be a five rounds, three minutes. You know, he knows he has to, he can't just go nuts in the first round. He has to, you know, pace himself. And with Tehran, that's a little difficult because Tehran will come at you. So I think I chalk it up to that inexperience was the first few rounds, first round and then the second round. But then Asa started getting comfortable and he started looking solid. And even the commentators were saying that he started looking solid and landing the better shots. And at the end of the day, that's, I think, in the end, like you said, I mean, he did lose by TKO. Tehran did lose by TKO, but I think Asa was winning that fight. So after that was another Florida guy, which was super, super impressive. Bryce Lawrence against Jason Verdugo. And that fight went quickly. And you gotta love a, you always gotta love a knockout due to low kicks.
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, it wasn't 100% low kicks. He was set. He started off throwing the low kicks to where he got the guy just worried about taking a low kick, and then hit him with one more low kick. So he dropped his hands, came right in with the uppercut, and put him out.
Yeah, I mean, man. I mean,
textbook, beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, that Bryce Lawrence is another guy out of Florida. He's out of Naples, which is a couple hours from where I live, and on the west coast of Florida. And you know, I was happy to see him win. I've seen him. I was actually. I had already seen Bryce Lawrence fight. He's an impressive guy. He had fought Tim Amarim, which is from Rami Elite's gym. He beat Tim Amarim. So, you know, he's a guy that that's kind of been under the radar. But I think after this fight, you know, he just kind of ran through Jason Verdugo. And I have to say, I was kind of pulling for Jason Verdugo because I found out he was Colombian. And since I'm Colombian, I guess I was, you know, I was like, all right, I want to see what he's got. But then Bryce didn't give him a chance to pretty much do anything. So that fight went quickly. And you had Kai Hollenbeck versus Justin Greskowitz, which was another crazy fight. And just Kai Hollenbeck is, he's, I don't know, man, he's a bulldozer.
He just runs forward, just not runs, but he pushes, bulldozes forward and just does what he's got to do.
Yeah. And I think Justin was trying to set a pace, trying to, you know, his Thai style, trying to set a pace. And, you know, Kai wasn't having any of that. And Kai was setting up some very good combinations, and he was throwing heavy leather, man. And, you know, it was he ended up losing by TKO because it was three knockdowns, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, although Justin did have Kai stunned at one point, but he couldn't capitalize on it. He couldn't end the fight. But then Kai just came back, and that was it.
Yeah. Kai's always had that style where he'll bulldoze forward. He takes shots and he won't stop coming at you. And like you said, Justin did have him in the first round. I think Justin threw a combination where he did stun Kai, and I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a good fight. But Kai turned it up after that, and I don't think Justin could just keep up with the pace. So that was another fight that ended by decision. And then we move on from there to Ognjen Topić, Sergio Vilsen, right?
Yep.
Which was, you know, I love Ognjen Topić to death. He's one of my favorite fighters, American, you know, representative of North American Muay Thai, friend of the podcast. We like talking to him. I always follow him on social media. He's a designer, like me. So it's also something that he's talented in that respect as well. So I always follow him there. And, you know, I was really pulling for him. Sergio Wilson is a tough guy. I've seen him fight before. Fought Anawad in 2010, beat the crap out of Anouat and KO'd him. So that's, you know, and Anouat was the guy that sort of got me into Muay Thai. So well,
he put Anouat out with a brutal head kick.
Yeah, exactly. After like 6 or 7 consecutive low kicks. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it was a great fight. It was a good fight. You can tell that Sergio Vilsen is more of a kickboxer. And I think Ong Jin was actually doing a good job. He was every single time Ong Jin did a good job because I think he read that Sergio had some. He read throughout the first couple rounds that Sergio had power in his hands, and then what he started using was the clinch. And in the clinch, Ong Jin was a lot more dominant. I mean, he kept on dropping him, dumping him all over the ring. Had the fight gone to a decision like that, I think Ong Jin would have taken it. But you know, Sergio Wilson caught him with just a wicked elbow, man, and that was the end of it.
I thought it was the knee that split him.
Was it a knee or an elbow?
I think it was a knee that split him.
Oh yeah, it was a jumping knee. A jumping knee. You're right.
I know, I'm always right.
Yeah, but I mean, after that, I saw some commentary from our good friend Stefan Strohmeyer. Some guys like Spencer were saying that that fight in Thailand, they probably would have let it continue, but that was a big gash. So I don't know. I mean, that was...
They didn't even give the corner a chance to work on it. Like, they, you know, they could have given the corner a chance to, you know, put some Vaseline in it, try and stop the bleeding, but they just called it off immediately. At least give him a chance, let the fight go on for another 20 seconds or so, see what happens, and then take it from there. Because he just, you know, if they would have just put some Vaseline in it, he might have made it through that round. And then in between rounds, he could have tried to work on it a little more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're on the same page as Spencer and our good friend Stefan. I mean, they said they should have let it go on or had the corner check it or whatever. I mean, I just, from what I saw, it was a big cut, and then obviously they deferred to the doctor's decision. The doctor looked at it, and I guess he just thought it was too big to even work on. Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but I guess if the doctor says, hey, man, that thing's... I mean, to me, what I saw in the split second that I saw, it was just a really nasty cut, man. So I don't know if, you know, do you want him to get hurt more? I don't know. So I thought it was an okay stoppage. Huh?
He wasn't hurt. He was just cut.
No, I know. But I said, you don't want him to get, I mean, you don't want him to like get completely fucking disfigured, man. So
he's an eyebrow.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, I thought it was an all right stoppage. I mean, it was, like I said, it was a big gash. So, I wasn't too pissed off about it. I mean, and I think Ong Jin's going to come back stronger anyway. So, I didn't want to see him lose, but Sergio Wilson is the new champion for Lion Fight there. And, well, that's, we'll see what Ong Jin does to come back and who they set up Sergio now with, next. And then the final fight of the night, which was Joe, Smoking Joe Nuttawat. He was supposed to fight Khem Sitsong Pinong, which was going to be an awesome fight if it happened. And then we ended up getting, I guess, I don't know what happened. I don't know the details on what occurred, if it was an injury or something like that, that Khem had to drop out. And we ended up seeing Cedric Manhoff, which is Melvin Manhoff's nephew, I believe. Step in to fight Smoking Joe Nuttawat, and Nuttawat just put on a complete Muay Thai clinic, in my opinion. Took every round. He did get stunned, I think, in the last round because Menhoff showed some power, but it was just Nuttawat wasn't letting him use it. Just beautiful body kicks, tearing apart his arms, his forearms, everything, and he wasn't able to get off those combinations. When he did get those combinations off in the fifth round, he did tag Nuttawat at one point, but then Nuttawat put on, to me, which was a beautiful showcase of using the teep to keep your opponent away from you for the entire round.
Yeah, I mean, it looked to me like Manhoff didn't really try to do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that if he did try, he would have won, because I don't think he would have won anyway.
Yeah.
But it looked like he was just kind of sitting there and being Joe's punching bag for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was just the They said it well in the commentary. It was basically that in order to fight, Joe is a rhythm fighter, as most Thai guys are. They sort of figure you out, and then they start to get into their rhythm. And once they start to get in the rhythm, they play their game to pull you apart and pick you apart. With a lot of Thai guys, the only way you can beat them is really you sort of have to not let them get settled into a rhythm. And that was something that, you know, Pat Miletic highlighted, The Voice highlighted as well. And that's exactly what Cedric Manhoff did, because after a while, it was just that when Joe saw that his body kicks were landing on this guy's forearms every single time, and that this guy's probably, because he's a kickboxer, is going to be more of a puncher and have good hands, which we saw, he just started picking away at that. And after you receive a shin kick from a Thai guy over and over and over to your forearms, that's really going to take away from you wanting to punch at all. Yeah. So I mean, and if the thing is with Joe Nodawat's speed and accuracy, I think even if he was going to throw a punch, even when he did throw punches, those body kicks were landing on his rib cage. So it's like, it's one or the other, you know, you don't want either one of those. So after a while, I think that just kind of stunned Manhoff into not having a plan B. Joe Nodawat gets into the rhythm. He starts taking him apart. And that's kind of what we saw. Muay Thai clinic, body kicks, you know, body kicks and body kicks, body kick after body kick, clinching up, stopping, clinching up to stop Manhoff's punching power. And then the teeps at the end to just keep him at bay were something beautiful. So Nodawat obviously remains the super welterweight champion. And that was Lion Fight. I mean, it was overall a fantastic event. I liked it from start to finish, man.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a good event.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, they're growing, they're doing well. Every single one of their events, to me, continues to get better. The other fight we missed, I'm sorry, Nick Chastain versus Chris Mosseri.
We did, skipped one.
Yeah, we skipped one, I'm sorry. That was a fight that a lot of people were looking forward to. I've seen Chris Mosseri fight. I knew he was going to be tough for Nick Chastain. Nick Chastain is a talented fighter. Chris Mosseri just too strong. Just came at him, man. Chastain did a couple of good things in the first round. I think he swept him a couple times. But after that, that was it, man. Chris Mosseri has, besides having good Muay Thai, has really, really strong hands. This is a guy that stood toe-to-toe and was not afraid to stand toe-to-toe with Kevin Ross. Got beat up by Kevin Ross, but still looked good. And obviously, Nick Chastain is not at Kevin Ross's level. So I think he was walking in there confident. And man, those two elbows was a beautiful knockout, man.
To me, it looked like he was a little too overconfident.
Chastain?
Yeah. He was overconfident. He was being a little cocky about it. And then that's what happens.
Oh, well, man, I mean, I think Chastain has that sort of real traditional Thai style, he has sort of in the past started off too slow, started very Thai, started off kind of trying to pick his guys apart and everything. And Chris Mosseri wasn't taking any of that, man. After Chastain dropped him or swept him, it was like, that was it. Chris Mosseri's like, all right, I'm just going to turn on the heat. And evidently, Chastain didn't get out of the kitchen. But the two elbows, man, those two consecutive elbows were, for me, probably the KO of the night. Yeah. Because that was just brutal, man. I mean, because Chastain tried to get up and then he just flopped over again. So it was, you knew he was gone. He was done, you know. But like I said, once again, overall, Lion Fight once again impresses me. I continue to like them. I continue to like where they're moving towards, where they're going. You know, now I look forward to Lion Fight. As I've said it before, I look forward to Lion Fight more than I've been looking forward to Glory. Obviously, there's guys on Glory that I absolutely love as fighters, guys like Gokhan Saki, guys like Robin Van Roosmalen, guys like, Sitichai Sitsong Pinong. All those guys, man, Nicky Holtzkin, there's great fighters. But the last couple events have been, I mean, now if we move into that direction, which you didn't see it, Vinny, but you obviously heard the controversy. We talked about it a little bit beforehand. the last two events, I believe Sitichai got robbed from his fight against Robin Van Roosmalen. I believe, although I love Nicky Holtzkin, I think he got robbed. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that Murto Groenhart beat him and got robbed. And then this fight yesterday was a complete, just completely nuts, man. With between Artem Levin and Simon Marcus. Now, I want to, before I talk about it, obviously, I want to say, I don't think it's, I think the ref screwed this one up big time, which was Al Wickers. But at the end of the day, it's not, and you brought up a good point, it's not that Glory, you know, these refs are not Glory's refs. These judges aren't Glory's judges, you know? Yeah,
they're part of the commission of the state that's hosting the event. So yeah. At the end of the day, yeah, you know, Glory has, some parts of it have kind of bothered me lately, but it's not 100% their fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because they don't get to decide who the refs are.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, should they try to find states where they've had better luck with refs and judges?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, you have New Jersey, which has a great, I think, a great commission run by Nick Lembo. And they've done many events there, and many events have done well. I think those are the states that they should be going to, obviously. Chicago, I don't know. I haven't seen any events in Chicago. And obviously, this is the second Glory that they do in Chicago. The first one was fine, but I don't know why they I don't know what happened in this case with the judging in this case. It was the reffing. Al Wickers, I've seen him ref a couple other fights. He actually reffed a fight supposedly where a kid died after the fight. So, I mean, there's some reffing there, issues there that I don't know if he would have been the best choice, but obviously that is the way the commissions work. So I just think it was, so to talk about the fight, Levin versus Simon Marcus, Artem Levin versus Simon Marcus for the third time. For the third time in their careers, because the first time they fought was under Muay Thai rules, where Simon Marcus beat Artem Levin at Lion Fight 9. I believe that was in 2012 or 2013. Now, in Glory rules, the last time they fought to a draw, which was also a sort of controversial draw because Levin did a lot of holding, and I believe Simon Marcus was landing the better shots. But Glory rules, Levin was the better boxer. He was landing a lot of combinations. He was doing well to get into better positions, using his movement well, but he still was holding a lot. And so it ended up being a draw, which was controversial. So this was going to be the fight that was supposed to end all controversy. And it didn't do that at all because, you know, Vinny, you didn't watch it, but I kind of told you. I mean, one of the first things that came out, you know, that a lot of people complained about was there was a point in the first round where pretty much Simon Marcus, in one of those clinch exchanges, which shouldn't happen, pretty much threw Levin outside of the ropes. He falls out of the ropes. When Levin's getting back into the ring, Al Wickers is giving him a standing eight count, which makes absolutely no sense. You know, why are you giving a guy a standing eight count when he got tossed out of the ring, you know, which shouldn't be happening? And so he gives him a standing eight count. So right there, obviously, that's a 10-8 round for Levin, you know? I mean, sorry, 10-8 round for Marcus. So I think he was already pissed off then. Then they get, I think in the second round, they deduct another point from Levin for excessive holding, which to me was kind of ridiculous because both of them were doing it. Simon Marcus was pushing forward and sort of bulldozing Levin, and Levin, you know, was trying to throw hands, throw kicks. But when you have somebody bulldozing you, you know, I think his Muay Thai instincts kick in. He tries to hold, tries to turn him, you know, maybe use a hold in boxing to turn his opponent. But Simon Marcus is a big dude, so that wasn't happening. And then they end up tying up, and that's just, it becomes a clinch. So they start throwing knees. It's a clinch. It's not supposed to be happening in Glory. I think they were both doing it. At one point, Levin grabbed Marcus's leg and swept him, but then Simon Marcus also did that at one point. So they were both doing things that they weren't supposed to doing, be doing under glory rules, but Al Wickers in the second round deducts a point from Levin, and Levin gets pissed off, and this is where it becomes hilarious, because Levin gets pissed off and basically waves off the fight. He says, like, I'm done. At that point, Simon Marcus jumps on him, because Al Wickers didn't understand that Levin was saying, no, I don't, that's it, I'm done. Simon Marcus jumps on him when Levin has his back turned. Levin goes ape shit and starts attacking back. And that was actually, I think, around where Levin woke up and was kind of like, "All right, I'm gonna fuck this guy up because I'm pissed now." And then we move into the third round. Same thing, excessive holding, blah 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 blah. Another point deducted by Al Wickers. So obviously, at this point, Levin, there's no way he could really win the fight because he's lost every single round. He was going to end up losing 10-8. And he finally calls off the fight, says, screw it, I'm done. I don't want to fight anymore. What I find hilarious is that Al Wickers kept on screaming fight when he sees that Levin obviously is saying he's not going to continue. And it was just weird. So Simon Marcus jumps up and down with joy because he won the belt. Levin just storms out of the ring, and it was a complete spectacle, man. It was the weirdest shit I've seen on a professional event. I don't know what happens from here. I mean, Levin's obviously pissed. I don't think he's going to want to fight for glory anymore. And we're going to see what happens.
Yep.
I mean, so from that, I mean, and this is the thing. The rest of the card, Dustin Jacoby, who's been a guy who's been climbing up the ranks, fights in a contender tournament. He beats Wayne Barrett. He beats Carl Robertson to basically win the contender tournament and have, I guess, the next shot in line. Joe Schilling was on the card. Joe Schilling, always an exciting fighter, fights Mike Lemaire, who I think is a great fighter too, but it's a big difference in competition. Joe Schilling beats Mike Lemaire by unanimous decision. He had taken that fight only on 12 days notice. A lot of us know that Joe Schilling is going to be heading towards Bellator kickboxing. He's been saying that he's going to stay with Bellator kickboxing because Spike has treated him well. He wants to go to Bellator kickboxing, which was announced just 2 weeks ago. He's got one fight left on his glory contract. I doubt they're going to give him a title fight against Simon Marcus, because if Joe were to beat Simon Marcus and take that belt, then he basically has to vacate it and walk because he's going to leave, you know? So the next guy in line is Dustin Jacoby. And what happens with Artem Levin, we don't know. I mean, so it was just a weird thing, man. And I just don't know. Glory just kind of always has this weirdness surrounding it now. And for me, and then there's other fights on the card that are just fall flat, in my opinion. So yeah, man, that's kind of like what's been going on. I mean, I know I've been talking on because you didn't see it, but you know, what are your opinions from what you heard, man?
yeah, like I said, you know, now with the competition between Glory and Bellator, and the way Glory has been going with all this controversy, I think Bellator may end up overtaking them, especially with the name that Bellator has already in MMA, you know, and they already have a big fan base for MMA. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to start promoting their kickboxing to all those fans.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, that may be the next up and coming show.
Yeah. And the thing is, when they announced it, I think the event is going to be in some place close to your heart. The next one, which is Italy, that'll be the first Bellator kickboxing event, which I would like to see. Obviously, we know that they announced that Kevin Ross is going to be on the card. Raymond Daniels is going to be on the card. So
very odd to me, because I thought Kevin Ross didn't like to fight without elbows.
Yeah, but I guess he's moving in that direction. Maybe they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. Yeah. So they have Kevin Ross, they have Raymond Daniels, who was a highlight reel guy for Glory. So I don't know how that's working out, what happened with that. And obviously Joe Schilling is moving there. He said he's happy to move over there, likes the way Spike is treating him. So he's moving in that direction. Bellator already has a name. They have a guy, Scott Coker, who's, you know, runs Bellator MMA, is going to be running Bellator kickboxing. He's a guy who's done well before with promoting events. So I think Bellator Kickboxing is gonna give Glory some trouble, and it depends on like if Bellator Kickboxing starts offering some solid fights, you're gonna see some guys maybe jump ship from Glory. I mean, there was already problems with contracts with Gokhan Saki at one point in Glory, with Tyrone Spong at one point. I don't know, man. I think that's going to be the competition now, and that's going to be a competition between Bellator and Glory. And meanwhile, Lion Fight is sort of uncontested. You know, they're just doing their Muay Thai thing, and they're doing it well. So
yeah, and they're growing because they're teaming up with other big organizations.
Yeah, I think this comes down to me to the whole slow and steady wins the race thing, because Glory, boom, it came up big out of nowhere. I mean, they were in Russia and they had a lot of different people. The company has changed hands a couple of times, but Core Hemmers has always been sort of been at the helm of that. But to me, I think Lion Fight did a great job, because it's what they have to do, man. They started with small shows. I remember when they were still Battle in the Desert. They weren't even like, they were Lion Fight, but it was Lion Fight Battle in the Desert. And they started out with that, and they were still, you know, smaller shows with more local guys. You know, Kevin Ross, Joe Schilling were still coming up. They were Kevin Ross was already a well-known name. Joe Schilling was starting to make a name for himself in those. They started doing really well, and they started doing it really slowly, man, getting local guys and attracting the local guys and making sure they fill seats and making sure that they break even so that they're not losing money, not bleeding money. And then they've slowly gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think the business plan was the right plan, and they're moving in the right direction, in my opinion. I don't know the inner workings of contracts and everything like that. I mean, I think they're doing well. I hope they're doing well. It looks like they're doing well. So that's kind of where who I want to watch most of the time is Lion Fight. It's who I'm excited to see. When Glory comes out, there's like one fight on the card, like this with Artem Simon Marcus Artem Levin. That was the fight I wanted to watch on Glory. Joe Schilling stepped in on 12 days notice. I was like, okay, I want to see that fight. Besides that, rest of the card didn't interest me. Diehard fan here. I'm a diehard fan, but rest of the card didn't interest me. Lion Fight, every single card has kind of, I've been like, oh, I know some of these guys. They're good. I'm gonna check it out. You know, so that's where I think where Lion Fight is winning the race.
Yep, agreed.
So what else, man? So what else? You had something that you wanted to talk to me about. You were telling me something about sparring or whatnot. We had,
You know, I'm on Facebook, social media. I'm friends with, you know, like all of us. We're all friends with a lot of people in the Muay Thai community. And lately, I've seen a lot of coaches bitching about guys just wanting to come into a gym and just spar. They don't want to train. They just want to come in and spar.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hear your opinion on it, because when we were training, especially back when, our coach Jose, when we were at TKA, we always used to get the big muscle head juice bags come in, you know, guys that when they shadow box, we always use the 2 pound weights for shadow boxing. They'd grab three in each hand at a time, and then they just wanted to spar.
Yeah.
So what's your take on guys just wanting to come in first day off the street and I want to spar? I don't want to train, I just want to spar.
Well, it's funny, man, because I mean that's something that I think a lot of gyms have gone through.
How do you like to handle it?
I would kind of defer to the old way that my good friend Jose, my good coach Jose, would handle it.
The best way.
But hold on, the thing is, I'm looking here. I'm trying to look here for something. Hold on a second. Because there's something that I got an email from somebody, and I just kind of want to talk about that too. But yeah, because basically before we go into that, I mean, we got an email from a fan, and I'm just trying to look it up here in my inbox. We got an email from a fan that was kind of talking about, you know, like Muay Thai, that we should do a show that's kind of like Muay Thai 101, you know, per se, to do like a Muay Thai 101 podcast for the guys that are just getting into Muay Thai or whatever. I can't find his name right now, but anyway, and this thing kind of would fall under that. We're going to do like a whole maybe Muay Thai 101 podcast soon, but this would kind of fall into one of those things, because back in the day, like in this sparring issue, back in the day, I remember Jose used to do this, and Jose is my coach here in Florida at Academy of Martial Arts in Pembroke Pines. We used to be at a gym called TKA. At that time, Vinny was down here. He was also coach for Vinny, and he used to handle it probably the best way, which was, okay, these guys would come in. You'd get a lot of guys down here, and I think this is universal. You got a lot of guys walk into your gym. They tell you all sorts of stories, that they were street fighters, that they are undefeated in the streets, that they probably have gone to another gym and they were tired of that gym because they beat everybody up at that gym. So they're like, oh, no, I don't want to. I want to come in and spar. Now, Jose is a very competitive guy, our coach. He's a guy that doesn't he's a guy of the mentality, old school mentality, which I've always loved about him, is that you want to act like a tough guy, you're going to have to prove it, you know? So I remember what he used to do all the time with these sparring guys. He's like, okay, you want to spar? All right, good. And what he would do is, at that time, and I'm not trying to say I'm the best in the world or anything, but I was pretty good in my day. And he would put that person either with myself, that new person, he would put him either with myself or a couple of the other guys that we had active fighters in the gym. One of them being a good friend of ours was Scott Stames. He also fought. And he would put him with one of those guys and basically say, teach him a lesson. So we would go in there and we would just pretty much beat the shit out of him. Now, it wouldn't be in, I wouldn't say I would go 100% on the guy, but I would just basically sort of get to a point where it was like, I'm showing you that I'm better than you, you know, that I can move, that I can get away from everything you have, that I'm going to be able to counter everything you have. And most of the time I didn't even have to hit the guys hard and they would quit, you know? And the thing is, I think what happens is two things. What Jose and I discovered with those type of guys was two things would happen. Either they would never show up again because they got their ass handed to them, or they would actually end up being some of your most loyal students, because they would come back, tail between their legs, and be like, all right, these guys are the real deal. They're no joke. They proved it to me. I really want to learn. And now they're like, you know, they were part of the team. I would say that more often than not, though, you would have the guys that would walk in and never come back, because there are just some of those guys, man. There's just some of those guys that just are on some freaking ego trip, man, that who knows where they got it from. And more so now with the, you know, with the UFC, and everybody's a fucking expert, and everybody, I mean, dude, I get, sometimes I'm seeing like commentary on Twitter and stuff during a fight. And you go on these forums, and then, you know, these guys are just shitting on professional fighters or talking crap about professional fighters. And you're like, well, what do these guys do? What do these guys do that they have this, you know, platform to sort of talk this trash? And a lot of those guys, some of those guys are the ones that take it to the extreme and walk into the gym and then want to say that they, you know, they are the best and they're going to spar and that's what they're going to do. Now, some gyms don't allow that. Some gyms would probably just turn the guy away. Jose, like I said, Jose is just old school, and he'd be like, all right, you want to fucking spar? Well, let's go then. And that's what he would do. And I think it worked in our favor a lot of times as well, to keep either the lunatics at bay or to gain a new student. I mean, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I'll never forget the time that I don't know who else was there. It was at TK, mm-hmm. and this one guy, he had to be like, you know, at least 240-250 pounds of just pure muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
All he did was lift weights and then thought he was a tough guy. He came in when it came time for shadow boxing. He grabbed three weights in each hand and started shadow boxing because he was too strong to do just the one weight in each hand.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we were getting started to start training, it was like, oh, you guys aren't going to spar today. I want to spar. So then he ended up sparring. I don't know who it was. Me. I know Scott was there.
Yeah, I don't think I was there because I don't remember. I don't think I was there because I think you guys told me that story.
Yeah, sparred with me, with Scott, and it was someone else. I don't know who it was.
But it might have been Ellie. Ellie, remember Ellie, the Puerto Rican guy?
Yeah, and then that guy never came back again. He never came back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was Jose's way of dealing with it. And I think till this day, I still think Jose has that traditional approach. I mean, Jose, like, you know, for you guys that are listening to us, I mean, that's my coach. I love him to death. He's as Vinny has said, he calls him the Guatemalan Nazi. He's a little short guy, but all attitude, but not all attitude. He's not like a mean guy. I don't want to say that, but he's one of the best people you'll ever meet. Super. He just wants you to be your best and he will push you to be your best, but he won't take, you know, he won't take nonsense. You know, if you're going to start crying and complaining, he's going to call you a bitch and he's going to tell you, you know, to man up and keep going. So he's got the balance between what a good coach should have, which is the, you know, showing love, but at the same time pushing you extremely hard. But he's also very traditional. And in that sense is like somebody wants to come in and sort of mouth off and think they're the, you know, they're hot shit. Then he's going to tell you, okay, let's spar and see if you are. And most of the time he does that. The guys never come back, or like I say, he gets loyal students. And the thing is, the loyalty that I see that students have with Jose is pretty incredible. I mean, I'm talking guys that no longer have been years that they don't come to the gym. They don't train anymore. They have kids, they moved on or whatever, but they still come by to visit. You know, they still come by to visit, to say what's up, to look at our fighters. Sometimes they go to events and cheer us on. I mean, he commands that type of loyalty. So I think that strategy works because he's one of those old school, no nonsense teachers, man.
You know? That's like me. Every time I'm in Florida, one of the first places I go is to the gym to see him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I miss training with him so much. You have no idea.
Yeah. And you know, when Marcus comes down here, Marcus Fisher, who's a friend of ours, when Marcus comes down, Marcus, you know, he's friends with Jose online. Marcus, you know, Jose always tells him the door is open. I usually always try to have a seminar, with Marcus, as you know, for him to come in and show the guys and some pointers and stuff like that. You know, he's just that type of guy, man. People just gravitate towards him, and he's got that attitude where, you know, the door is always open and the door is always open, but you got to prove yourself, you know, so you can't go in there and think that, he's going to be nice or easy on you. He won't. But if you prove yourself to him, man, he's like the best friend you can fucking have, you know? So, so in my opinion, going back to that, sort of like Muay Thai 101 and things that you can encounter in gyms. That's that's traditionally how we've handled it. I don't know how you handle it, Vin, at Staten Island Muay Thai, or if that's, you know, come up yet for you, because you're still relatively, what, like 2 years in.
I actually haven't really had anyone like that yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I've had some guys come in and they're like, oh, I want to train, I want to fight, I want to do this, I want to do that. They take my free trial class, realize they can't hack it, and then they don't come back.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of those, but I haven't had any of the sparring douchebags yet. I actually can't wait till I do.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I like to humble people.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, and that's actually a good question that we can leave out there. That's a good question that we can leave out there. Actually, I'm going to leave it as a fan question. That we can have up there and see, how do you guys out there, because it's been on social media, how do you guys deal with the guy that comes in and basically says he wants to spar, comes in with a, you know, the big attitude? How do you as coaches deal with it? To all our coaches out there that might listen to us, as students, how have you seen that your gyms have dealt with it? And because it's something, and for the new guys, for the guys such as the gentleman that wrote me asking for sort of like a Muay Thai 101 podcast, that's something that I think you would gauge a gym on, is by how they kind of deal with that situation. Is one way. I mean, do they deal with it? Do you think they deal with it correctly? You know, it depends on your attitude towards things. Some guys will just say, oh, no, we don't want conflict, so we're just going to turn them away. Some people will try to humble them like our coach does and like some other coaches I know do. But that's something that, you know, from a Muay Thai sort of 101 perspective, is something that you see at a lot of gyms. Pretty much, I think every gym has kind of gone through that at one point. So we leave that question out there for all of you guys that listen to us. How do you guys deal with the sparring douchebag, as Vinny would say, the guy who comes in, says he's, you know, world champion at the Kumite, and now wants to challenge everybody at the gym? How do you guys deal with that? So that's the open question. And I think with that, do we have any additional announcements, Vin, or?
As for announcements, I mean, the only thing coming up in this area, well, actually, there's a couple of things coming up. I mean, we have another Warriors Cup 26 coming up on April 23rd.
Okay.
And up here in the Northeast, the next thing after that would be the WK Nationals.
Oh, yep. It's like end of March, right? Or end of May?
May. It's okay. I think the weekend of May 19th, which is it's at Queensborough Community College in Queens, obviously. Okay. But yeah, that's all I know of off the top of my head right now.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wind down, just do some social media stuff, and we'll start winding down with this whole podcast of the airing of grievances, I'd say. I mean, I just, like I said, it wasn't really airing of grievances. I wasn't too angry at anything, but I was just, you know, kind of talking about Glory and Lion Fight. You know, shout out to Friday Night Fights. They had an event this weekend. If there was some place I could watch them, I would watch them. But shout out to Friday Night Fights and everybody, all the guys that fought on Friday Night Fights, longest running show, Muay Thai show in New York. Vinny's been there a couple times, I think. Have you had any guys fight on there? No, not yet.
I'm still new, just getting my fight team together. I mean, okay. I had one guy fight in the last Warriors Cup, and now I have two more going into the next Warriors Cup.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, but
I spoke to them last time, which actually that's another one that I would like to mention is Friday Night Fights. I mean, they're throwing a show pretty much every month now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, last one was at Lucky Strike Bowling Alley. I'm not sure where the next one is. Most of them are usually at the Broad Street Ballroom in downtown Manhattan. But it's another great show also. So
yeah. So shout out to Justin Blair, Eddie Marini. Those are the guys behind the scenes there working Friday Night Fights. And they're consistently putting on some good shows. And they had one this past Friday, which was at the same time as Glory and Lion Fight. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to obviously catch it because I was watching the other ones, but I'm sure a lot of good fights happened and went down there. Our good buddy Arnold Marzen and Bowsen and all these guys, Steve Ferdman, we're posting up some great pictures from the event. So make sure you follow those guys. Follow Friday Night Fights at FNFMT. You can follow them on Instagram, and you'll see a lot of stuff from updates from what happened from the last event there. So with that said, shout out to everybody that competed, and let's just do a little bit of social media. So basically, guys, you can always check us out on strikingcorner.com. That is the main website for the Striking Corner. Just posted up results for Glory 27 and some pictures. We will be posting up pictures of the Lion Fight event, Lion Fight 28 event, taken by our very own in-house photographer, Mr. Victor Alvarez, always doing a great job out there. So you can catch all of that at strikingcorner.com. Also on social media, or you can also see it on facebook.com/strikingcorner. That is our official Facebook page. We keep that one pretty active, as well as our Instagram. Our Instagram is at Striking Corner. We're pretty active on Instagram as well. It's actually one of our more active platforms. I'm on Twitter here and there, at Striking Corner. Vinny is as well, at Striking Corner. We're posting, we're commenting on, usually we're more active there when a fight is happening. We'll comment when the fights are going on. But we're always available on any of those platforms, you know, on throughout social social media. I opened up a Snapchat account, but I'm still trying to get an idea of how to use that thing.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah,
I think I'm just too old for it.
I think we're too old for it too, man. I am as well. I have it. I'm not going to say it yet until I actually, kind of get a hang of it and do something of note.
Get the feeling that it's going to be something striking corner.
Yeah, obviously. But I'm not going to give it out yet. I'm still working on getting that, getting a hang of that. So besides that, all that social media, you guys can also contact us. You can contact me at eric@thestrikingcorner.com. You can also contact us for any general inquiries at info@strikingcorner.com. And Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
That's Vinny@strikingcorner.com and pretty much any social media as Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T.
All right. And remember, guys, we always have the fan questions line. The fan questions line is, their number is 646-598-9462. Once again, that number is 646-598-9462. You guys can leave a voicemail. You can send us a text. We will get back to you. Remember, guys, if you have any suggestions, any questions, you can shoot us a message through any of those platforms, through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, our emails that we just mentioned. And obviously, we're trying to get this fan questions line going, which we've had some good interaction on there. Send us a text at 646-598-9462. That is the Striking Corner fan questions line. With all that said, guys, we are a couple of things that we wanted, basically that you can help us to help the Striking Corner keep going. On the strikingcorner.com website, you guys can click any of the Amazon banners, buy something on Amazon through using those banners from the strikingcorner.com. It takes you directly to Amazon. You buy anything you want on Amazon. There's nothing that you have to do. But basically, whatever you, if you're planning on buying stuff, go through there and they throw us, they throw us back a couple of cents here and there. So that helps us, continue to grow. We're also a partner with onit.com. Go to strikingcorner.com/onit. Buy anything that you want. They have great supplements, things for your workouts, battle ropes, clothes, all that type of stuff. Use the promo code GETONIT. That's 10% off. Go to strikingcorner.com/onit. We are paired up with them, and you also help us keep going. And besides that, we are a partner of Yokao. We're a Yokao power seller. Use the promo code Striking Corner and you'll get 10% off your purchase when you go to yokao.com. It's a brand that a lot of people are using, obviously. Some of the top fighters, Sanchai, Liam Harrison, Jordan Watson, all that type of stuff. So that's it, guys. That's a way that you guys can help us keep going. We really appreciate the support. We appreciate all the love. And thank you for listening to The Striking Corner.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more Muay Thai and kickboxing content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Striking Corner.